you. Thank you. Thank you for your love, for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for who you are, that you're a relational God that made us in your image to have a relationship with you and one another. Father, thank you for all that you've done to bring us to this moment, to bring us here, to be reminded of who you are, who we are, and what we're here for. Father, it's been awesome to get to worship you in spirit and truth with people that are passionate about their relationship with you. And it's super exciting to trace our origins back to the church at Antioch. We thank you for what took place there and what you've been doing through the ages, Jesus, as you promised to build your church in a way that hell and nothing else could stop it. And we're here because you meant that. We just want to be a part of what you're doing. Father, so in our time here today about biblical interaction and authentic disciple-making relationships, Father, I pray that what is said from you would be heard by your children here today with open hearts that receive that seed, and 30, 60, 100 times what is planted would take root in the heart and bear fruit in lives. May what just comes from me and Roxanne be forgotten. Father, I thank you for Jolie and Brandon and who they are and what they mean to us. Father, I thank you for the impact that they're having and that they're going to have at RSU in the fall and going forward. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so for those of you I haven't got to meet yet, I am Brent Bilby. I am with the Connect Church in Tulsa. Give it some love. All right, my beautiful bride, Roxanne Bilby, is amazing in every which way. And if I get going too long, I'll spend all the time talking about her. So rather than that, I'm going to try to jump in this lesson and just share what we hope would take place in our time here today. So we've got the topic of biblical interaction as it relates to campus ministry. I was reached to the campus ministry at 19 years old, and my life just had totally bottomed out on me. And at that point, I realized I was no good at ruling my life. And God saw times and places through that I got connected with the campus ministry and went through the way of discipleship study and saw who Christ was and his purpose, his mission. So it was all honestly through biblical interaction that I'm in Christ, and things a decade later are so much different in a good way than I ever thought they could have been. And so ultimately, our hope here today is that you would be able to take away the impact that you can have on your campus. Because God uses messed up, broken, ordinary people, because that's really all he's got. Satan does a good job of throwing some junk our way to make us think that we're the exception to this, but God has a great plan and purpose for each of us that's here today. And our hope is just that you would see God longs to use you, and that God is able to use you in a mighty way.
In the campus ministry at Rogers State, as he said. I was reached in campus ministry when I was a freshman at Tulsa Community College by Josh and Kelly as they work on that campus. And so campus ministry has a really special place in my heart. And now I get to be employed full-time at the university working in student affairs. And so I'm super, super grateful for that. And we'll talk a little bit about even how that plays in too. That was a really practical step for Brent and I and our family, just so we can serve on campus. And it's been a huge blessing in the relationship development that's been able to take place. And so I just want to reinforce, like Brent said, that this is really, really, really not about Brent and myself. And it's really, really not about Jolie and Brandon, but it's absolutely about what God can do through us and for us on the campuses that we get to work on in our workplaces. Just like Carrie talked about this morning, so long as we implement what Jesus did, he sets the perfect example in a relationship development. A lot of times we overcomplicate it. I think because it's so hard, not because it's so complex. And so we're going to talk about some practical steps that we can take. Is there any chance that we can have our slides on the screen? How do we feel about that? Sweet. So this is the description of the class for today. So again, emphasizing authenticity, which is just, in transparency, a struggle for both Brent and myself. As ironic as it sounds, we have to work really hard to be authentic in our relationships. And we'll talk a little bit about why that is and kind of how we tackle that in our own lives. But just essentially how relationships are the foundation for making disciples, because as we've said, that's what Jesus did. And so that's what we aim to do. Something that is really neat that I don't think is a coincidence as we talk about this, and this is such an emphasis, the emphasis on the relationship for Antioch. We are currently going through Brent and myself and Sid and Natalie, The Way of the Alongsider, which I'm sure a lot of you all have gone through. And we're learning so much. It's not new information, but I think just the way that it's presented has been so easy for us to grab hold of. And so that's been a huge blessing for us. And you can go ahead and go to the next slide. This is a snippet from, it's the like introductory page for The Way of the Alongsider. And I highlighted that ultimately discipleship coming alongside is that we stick with people until they get it. And that's what this is at its essence. Everyone has their own set of strongholds and hangups and hesitancies whenever they enter into relationship with Jesus and with other people. And God is really creative, and so he gets to be unique with each of us and our stories. But if we can cling to anything, I think that it would be this, that our role that we get to play as we come alongside in relationship, as we come alongside as disciplers, is we have the privilege of sticking with people until they get it. Not because we have to, like Carrie said, but because we truly love people and believe that they can live a life different than they've lived before Jesus. And so we can go ahead and introduce Jolie and Brandon, who we have here with us. We are going to briefly introduce them. I'll talk a little bit about Joe. Brent will talk a little bit about Brandon, obviously, just as we get to disciple them. And they're in our discipleship groups. But then we are going to let you hear from them directly. So this is really meant to be pretty conversational, pretty relational. And so I met Jolie on campus at Rogers State. And something that's neat is that I was not her first point of contact on campus. So she was walking past a cross chat and the free food and the cute little kiddo Anthony that was at our cross chat is what caught her attention and drew her in. And then before I knew it, I looked up and there was this, you know, beautiful blonde girl that was there at our cross chat. And Brent was like, you need to meet this girl. And I think other girls got to her before I did. And honestly, like I said, God is unique with each of our stories. But with Joe, it was kind of like the rest was history. Like she was exposed to the gospel. She studied the Bible with Sydney and Bianca and just latched onto it. And it's been messy and it's had its ups and downs, but she has stayed true to what God has laid out for her in her life and has chosen to believe that his way is better than her way. And so we'll get into more of it, but that was kind of the point in which we, you know, came into relationship, and then the rest has developed from there. And it's been a huge, huge blessing to my life, to the life of many others, to the ministry as a whole, as we've been able to grow in relationships. So that was our starting point.
And then with Brandon, it was a long time coming. I think we'd been connected about 4 years on campus before he was open to the gospel. Relationally, he was open, and he would spend time with us. He would come to cross chat, but as he started deepening relationship, he was kind of back out. You know, he'd been asked a couple times about a study, and he just wasn't open to it quite yet. And so there was a lovely young lady named Leanne Howell that got reached in a campus ministry, and after all our years and effort and prayers with Brandon, this girl invites him to church. He comes to church, and you know, kind of the rest is history from there. Ultimately, it was super cool at Whataburger when he was open for the gospel, and we had a great conversation, and I had pitched the studies like, yeah, I'm all in for it. Here's what's been going on. I have been, in his words, running from God since he'd got to campus. He had sensed that God had a purpose for his life, but within that purpose, God was going to call the shots in his life. And I'll let him share a little more of those details. But it was neat to hear the background, and it really brought home what will be our first point, is that I build relationships over time. If I'm going to have biblical interactions, embracing God's design for relational discipleship, that's going to take time. So I build relationships over time. We see this backed up through Scripture. We see that laid out in Scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, we see Paul relaying that he didn't just share the gospel with them, but he shared his life with them, which makes sense in light of what Carrie was talking about this morning, that God didn't just send a message. He sent his son to restore relationship, because that's who God is, that we were made by a relational God for a relationship with him and one another. And so the gospel, the good news, is not just passed along as a fact, as a message, something that you just throw at somebody, but the life comes with it. And that takes time, because love takes time. You know, and that 1 Corinthians 13, the descriptor of love, the first description of love is that love is patient. So if it ain't patient, it ain't love. So love takes time. And there's a reality that we're promised to see fruit. It won't necessarily be every person, because God, as a God of love, won't force. He won't coerce. Each person will get an opportunity and a shot. But we're told clearly, you know, if we'll do our part, God's faithful in doing his part. That's, I was just seeing one of the guys, one of my buds, he's going to have some hat on too, but rocking the vine in the branch shirt, which was a theme for our family vacation a while back, but it comes out of John 15. And that's where Jesus promises that we, if we just remain in him, if we just abide in him, and he tells us how to do that, just do life with him, follow him, trust him, that we'll see fruit. Right? And as Carrie touched on, that'd be spiritual fruit of other disciples being made. So there's just a guarantee, like, you are going to see fruit and have an impact on your campus if you relentlessly persist in biblical interactions. If you commit yourself to relational discipleship, there's just no two ways about it. And then when you put, you know, flesh on it, right, with Brandon, one of the things that I say about Brandon is like, man, I can't imagine life without him. Like, we were missing him so much and didn't even know that we were missing him until he was all the way brought into God's family. And, you know, when you experience that, you taste and see that, it's like, dude, what else would I rather have than this? There's nothing better than this. So the investment in time is so worth it. And quite frankly, we're all around because somebody invested time in us. Right? That's the model. That's how this thing has been going. So if you and I are going to have biblical interactions, see fruit, have relational discipleship take place, we've got to be willing to invest time.
And we should have given you a heads up. So this is one of five things that we will talk about, our responsibility and our role in relationship whenever we are outreaching and discipling. So that's the first one, is I build relationships over time. And so to start off, we wanted to give Brandon an opportunity, just as we talk about time, to speak to kind of what took you so long to come around. And then why did you continue to engage and entertain relationship when you were so hesitant on the front end?
I've never used one. Right here? Right? Okay.
He's normally in the sound booth, so this is...
I have no clue what I'm doing. But so just give a brief brief thing. Kind of like Brent said earlier, I was running from the Lord. In middle school, God had a calling for me, and I told God straight up, nope, I'm not the one. There's better people. You can't use me. And I ran away, and, you know, as time went on, you know, I stopped going to church. You know, I start skipping every other week, you know, and I... just, you know, made up excuses, tried to find any excuse I can not to go. And by my freshman year of college, You know, I have my Bible in a box underneath my bed, and I'm like, Lord, I believe in you, but I just want nothing to do with you. Like, you know, I just can't use me. And then I met Brent my freshman year in 2020. And again, like he said, like, I met him. You know, I've been invited to a few cross chats and a few events. And once in a blue moon, I would go. But I never really stayed for anything. I never really wanted anything because, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, these people are, you know, connected to the person I'm, to the Lord, you know, the person I ran away from. Like, how can the Lord use a runaway? You know, like, I ran away, and now he wants me back? I don't think so. But then, as Brent said, 4 years later, there was a little lady I work with who asked for my number, and one thing led. She was like, hey, you want to go to cross chats? So I started going to cross chats, and in 1 minute, she's like, hey, you want to go to church? And I was one of those guys who went to church for the girl. I didn't go for the Lord. Cute girl asked for my number and wants me to be around? Yeah, I'll go. But over time, there was one Sunday where I knew she was going to be there in advance. She told me, you know, like weeks she was going to be at church. And even though the reason why I was going to church wasn't going to be there, I went to church anyways. And that's when I found, you know, I realized that there was so much I was missing in my life, and everything that I wanted, the Lord was going to give to me. You know, I just needed to stop running away and start running towards him. And now I'm here. I've been dating the little lady for over a year now. I've been in the church for over a year now. And yeah, it's just been wonderful. I got everything in my life just has been better. You know, and yeah.
You're good. Thanks, Brandon. Okay, so that was the first piece that we wanted to focus on, as I build relationships over time, which it can feel like you're doing everything really wrong when that's the case. But something that Brent takes us back to that I think came from a conversation with Robert, actually, is just to relentlessly persist, because people are worth it and God will open the door. And it's that, you know, that person has a role to play in walking through that door. But just thinking through what someone sacrificed and invested so that we could come to have a relationship with God. Our second point is that I build relationships that are messy. And so this isn't always a popular thing to talk about, but it's a reality of a relationship, which Carrie talked to us about this morning, about how we are going to get our hearts broken. It is going to be hard, but it's so, so worth it, because you just think about what the alternative is, and it's to miss out on all of the joy and goodness that comes from really investing your heart in people and introducing them to the source of life. And so now we're going to get to hear from Jo. She's going to give us an overview of her story and just what led her to interact with Ignite Campus Ministry.
Sir.
Relationships are messy. I got a little water.
Is it water or sweat?
Well, water, I believe. Mm-hmm. I haven't worked up a sweat yet.
We'll go with that. So an overview of my story is I did not grow up with God, period. I had no relationship. I knew nothing about him. So coming in, I had just moved to Claremore, just started a brand new college. I had no idea who anybody was. So I finished classes, was walking to a different building, and I was approached with free pizza, and then I got attacked by a small child with a tortilla. So I managed to stick around, and one of the main things that really just attracted to, like, the whole campus itself was the authenticity of, like, what a community really is and how much of a family that they, and how much love that they showed to complete strangers, but yet to each other, and it was contagious. You just wanted to stay. And I just kept showing up, and then I got invited to a birthday party for, where is Rennie, if he's even in here?
Discipleship track.
But, again, just met these guys one time, so they're like, yeah, we'll pick you up. And I was like, all right, cool. So I'm walking down the stairs, and I see a giant white van. And I was like, I still trust it, okay. Again, I don't know what it was other than the fact of God telling me that I am willing to trust these people and that I should trust these people to give them a chance and to give him a chance and to better my life in the long run.
Quite clearly did. Love you, girl.
So whenever you are really living life with someone, you are going to see their mess and they are going to see your mess. Part of my mess is that I am notorious for being a poor driver. And so it was in the first month and a half of knowing Jolie, she spent the night at our house. Some stuff was going on and it just made more sense for her to crash on our couch than go back home. And I was leaving for work the next morning and I backed into her car. I mean, I had known her for, like I said, like a month and a half.
Maybe.
And I left for work. Jolie's still asleep. And I was like, I did not just do that. This girl's never going to come back. And so I went back inside and she's still sleeping on the couch. And I was like, Joe,
I heard it from inside the house. And at first I thought you were like, okay, maybe the mailbox. And I was like, wait, my car's out there.
It was early too. It was a super early
morning.
She said
she gave it a love tap. It was not.
It has personality now. But, you know, that's a funny example, but it's a very real example of we were coexisting, and sometimes that's the result of what it looks like to coexist. And, of course, as you all have engaged in your own, discipling relationships, you know that it goes so far beyond backing into someone's car that it goes to the space of confessing your sins to each other. So James 5:16 says, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. And so again, is it fun or enjoyable or easy to go to your brothers and sisters and say, this is the mess that I'm in, maybe a mess that I've caused? Of course not. It is a continual struggle, but we see that the result of it is living together whole and healed. And so if you weigh out the cost of confessing your sins, but the benefit to be in being whole and healed, it is absolutely worth it on the other side. And Jolie and Brandon have been proof of that, and they've had their own experiences with that. And then John 10:10, the Message version says, a thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. That more and better life comes as a result of getting real and getting messy with one another, which takes us right into our next point of building relationships that get real.
Oh, I didn't show up yet. That's okay. That's okay. I build relationships that are real. If we're going to have relationships, it's got to be real. If it's not real, right, it's not genuinely a relationship. There's got to be not only the mess, but a willingness to step into that mess, to engage. And yes, like Carrie touched on, there is real risk. But our only alternative is to lock our heart in a box and not love anything, not give it to anything. Even to an animal. Because if you do that, if you succeed at doing that, which I had a great deal of practice because of my background and the hurt and the abuse in my home, when I went back to get my heart out of that box, it had changed and it was hard. And it's tough to come back from a hard heart. With God's power and spirit, you're able to do that. But to have biblical interactions, that's going to be real because you're bringing people into God's family. And so you're going to have familial type relationships. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul's writing to this church that he's planted. He shared relationship, as we touched on previously, not just the gospel, but his life. And now he goes through a whole list of familial interactions that he has with them. But right here he says, I deal with you as a father deals with his own children. And good dads engage. Like, I think that's the operative word for a good father, is he engages in that child's life. And so within that, you get to have some very real interactions. You talk about things like dating. Like if a Jolie that you love, like she's your own kid, is maybe going on a date with a guy from a dating app, you have a conversation about it. You got to talk about these things, and you got to let her know who she is and what she's worth, and that any guy that's not willing to come and meet me is probably a dirtbag. And if you go, okay, I get it. You guys are the generation of dating apps and social medias. And the way that I put it to people is, yeah, if you're hungry and you go dumpster diving for food, you might just find a biscuit that's gently wrapped, that it's still good. But you're going to go through a bunch of garbage and trash first. So if you choose to do life God's way and date a disciple, you can miss a whole lot of that. And so within these biblical interactions, we just simply pay forward what's been done in our life. Any of us that get passionate about things like this, it's probably because we've got stuff in our background where we did it the wrong way and hit a bunch of hurt and mess that we want you to be able to avoid. But getting real in relationships allows for good stuff to take place and to happen.
If you would go to the next slide, we have a visual of this conversation happening in real time. And we wanted to give Jolie an opportunity to just lay out what's happening in this photo after Brent has given his perspective.
Okay, so mind you, I've known Brent for maybe 2 or 3 months in this picture. So I have this guy, I'm in his house. We DoorDash food. It was like 10 o'clock at night. Barely. Still am. But it was very hard to take him seriously at first because it was all a joke because our other friend in there was talking about his relationship. So then it just became just a funny conversation. But then Brent was like, no, we're getting serious. And so I was like, oh, okay. And so it was, why are you going on a date with this guy? Who is this guy? Am I going to meet this guy? Very much of a big brother type of conversation. And whether or not I took him seriously at that point, no, I did not. But I learned that he was not wrong. He was right. I'll give him that. But it was very surreal in the fact of, okay, this is not what I need in my life. I need to look for healthy and relationships in anyone, a friend, a boyfriend, a person just to walk beside, and then to be able to do that for a disciple. If I'm telling one of my girls of that's not okay, like we need to look at this from a different perspective and from a biblical point of view. And I mean, I still do that with one of my best friends who just started going to church again. And I mean, she has a kid with this guy, and one of our other ladies and I have very serious conversations with her all the time. And I mean, I am nowhere near where she's been and is in a relationship, but it's the matter of fact of you have to look at it in a real reality. I mean, this is not biblical, and we need to have a sit-down conversation of what we need to do and how we need to go about it. So,
well said, JB. So something that's really cool about these relationships that we get to share and the family dynamics that come about due to living life with one another is that you get to speak into the life of someone that you're discipling like a father, like a big brother, like a big sister, like a mother figure. And God just is a God who totally rewrites stories. He's a God who, regardless of someone's background, you do get to experience a healthy example of that. And it has just been one of the biggest blessings of my life to see Brent get to do that for other people. And so we harp a lot on the dating thing and on the relationship thing, and we're not the relationship police, but any chance we get to talk about how important it is, who you're dating and who you're investing your time in, we talk about. Because it's just to get to walk alongside someone and live life with someone in marriage and relationship who will speak truth into the life of young women and get to tell them their worth and who they belong to and what they deserve. It's just the best. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. So now we're going to shift back to hearing from, well, do you want to talk about?
Here we go. You're going to be kind of put on the spot here. Getting real, you know, there was a time recently where Brandon lost his grandmother, and that was his person. And so we're up on campus, and we're hosting an event, and he's not there. And Leanne approaches me and lets me know about the situation, and he's in his dorm. And so I head over there and spend some time with him. And just I want folks to hear from you, Brandon, just a bit about what that experience was like from the inside of some heartbreak, tragedy. It happens. Like, Jesus makes it very clear, in this world you're going to have trouble. Don't fear, though. I've overcome the world, right? And so a reframe and a reality as disciples is the heartbreak's going to happen, but now we don't have to go through it alone. And so, Brandon, I just want you to kind of share a little bit about how that was for you.
All right. I'm doing my best not to cry or break down, but I've let it out plenty of times. But, yeah, so in August last year, my grandma passed away, and it's still rough. It still gets me. There's still a hole there, but it was just kind of, it was surreal, and it was crazy. And it's crazy to think that the Lord, so I think I got baptized in, like, I want to say, like, July, like, early July, middle July, and in, like, not even a month after getting baptized, my grandma died. And it's just, it was rough, and it wasn't like we didn't know what was going to happen, but it did, and it was still tough. But I did feel a little bit alone, and I feel a bit like, you know, just I didn't want to talk to anyone. You know, it's like, she's been my life, you know, forever. And it's like, I just want to be alone. But Brent, he came by, you know, and I don't think he said, I think he probably said 3 words that entire night. And he was there for like an hour, hour and a half. And it was just me crying basically the entire time. Also barely talking. But it was that moment that I learned that, you know, that not only that he was there for me, not only that, but I had a whole friends and a family that was there for me. And I've had plenty of other breakdowns. My biggest one was in January. There was a specific Sunday. That was my grandma's birthday. And I tried to go all day without doing it, and I broke down right there. And around this time, too, it's like ever since my grandma died in August, I was in this mode of just kind of just there, surviving. Wake up, I go to work, I eat lunch, I go to bed. I wake up, I go to work, I eat lunch, I go to bed. Like, it was just autopilot. It was just every day. And I broke down that Sunday because it was like my grandma's birthday is on 24th and mine was on the 26th. You know, and it was the first grandma was not going to be part of my birthday. And I was like, how can I have a birthday party without her? But the men came together, you know, my family came together, and you know, my church family. And I normally don't celebrate my birthday. And this year, I definitely wasn't going to have any plans. My plan was to work and do homework. But like, nah, we're going bowling. I remember at one point, I was like, I don't think I want to go. And like, nah, you're going bowling. There's the van. Get in. And I get kidnapped a lot in that van. But I mean, I've told Roxanne and all the, and then plenty of times. But it's like, ever since that day, ever since that bowling birthday party, you know, I've... Again, I still hurt, and there's still a hole in my heart and I still grieve. But ever since that day, I've never felt I was just surviving anymore. It wasn't, I get up, I go to work, I eat, and I go to bed, and I sleep. It was, I get up, I pray, you know, I talk to people, I read, I do my Bible study, and I live, and I don't live for myself. I live with the Spirit in me, you know, and it's just wonderful. You know, I've gone through a long journey, gone through a long way. And it's just crazy to think that this all started because a little lady, again, asked my number using the lyrics of Call Me Maybe. And I went to church for the girl, and I stayed for the Lord. So here I am.
That's so good. So it can sound like, as we talk through these examples, that it's Brent and I pouring into Jolie and Brandon, which we do very intentionally, very prayerfully, but biblical relationships don't stop there. They're not one-sided. And so our fourth point is that I build relationships that are mutual. And so I think sometimes there's a tendency for a discipling relationship to be one-sided. It can seem like there's one person who knows it all and there's one person who knows nothing at all. But getting into that space is really, really dangerous. It's prideful. It's isolating. And ultimately, it doesn't lead to the fruit that God desires. And it doesn't lead to the life that we really want if we're honest with ourselves. And this is a heart check that has to happen pretty regularly for Brent and myself. We had a really recent conversation with Lynn and Carol and the Wilsons where this was kind of being addressed, which was a really good reminder. And I mean, even being here this weekend and all of the emphasis on relationships leading up to a retreat, it can be so easy to focus on who is going to be there and logistics and what needs to be done. And you can be frustrated that someone isn't here that really needs to be here. But man, it's just been so good for my heart to be here. And I just have these moments where I'm like, hello, like God is saying, in part, you're missing the point. Like this is not because, you know, wisdom needs to be imparted on those that are younger than you, but this is so that you collectively as a body can be built up and be empowered to reach out to the lost and hurting world who doesn't get to have this. And so in 2 Thessalonians, so following the verse that we just discussed, we see that Paul, Silas, and Timothy are writing to this group of believers and thanking God for the encouragement that they provide as they cling to their faith. And I know that you all understand what an absolute blessing it is whenever you reach out to someone and they decide to follow Christ and they cling to the faith that has been introduced to them. And so that is something that Brent and I are so grateful for. Joe and Brandon and so many people that we get to live life with at Connect Church, just the gratitude that we have that folks are clinging to their faith, that they are choosing something different. Despite the lie that gets in our head that nothing good is happening, which just isn't true. That's never true. That is a lie from Satan. And the encouragement that Jolie and the ladies have been in this season has been incredible. To see them come alive, to embrace a life that they never would have dreamed that they get to have. And you can get stuck in a rut. I mean, Brandon described it as autopilot, and I understand that, and Brent understands that. But then you have someone come along, and they're daring to dream that life can actually be different. Like, I think Anthony said, you know, they don't just believe in God, but they believe him, that when he says, I will put a new heart in you, they actually think that that can be true. And it reminds you, it reminds us to dream again. And Jolie and I have had more than one conversation about that. She writes these really cool notes of encouragement. It's one of her spiritual gifts, encouragement and writing. and communicating in that way. And, you know, I've told her, thank you so much for being this, for providing that encouragement, for choosing life, for choosing something that's different. And she's like, what? Like, I just don't get it. What do you mean, thank you? Like, part of it is because it is her spiritual gift, so she just doesn't even see it sometimes, how encouraging it really, really is. But we've had moments where she's like, I just don't understand. And I'm like, one day you're going to have a Jolie, and then you're going to understand. And I just can't even express, you know, how much of a blessing that is. And it's just, it's been this really interesting season for Brent and I. It's probably because we're, well, Brent's 30, if you haven't heard. I'm in my late 20s. And and so maybe it's that. Maybe it's just getting more and more goodness from God the longer that we get to do this. But we've really transitioned into the season of our life where we really feel like the campus students that we're getting to work with are like our kids. Kids, older siblings, you know, mixed between the two. But I just can't even, like, put into words how badly we want good for them. I mean, in a way that we've never experienced before. We just want them, as if they were our own children, to live a life worthy of the calling that God has placed on them and to be in relationships that show them that they're worth it and show them that they do deserve to be prioritized and loved and treated in a way that honors God, that what the world has to offer is just garbage, and they get to embrace that and also offer that to other people. And so Brandon has these encouraging text messages and notes that he shares with us, and we get to see him regularly on campus. He has this spot right outside of the office that I get to work in called the perch. And so we get to see Brandon on his perch, and he's oftentimes studying or talking to someone. And we just wanted to talk about the encouragement that that provides, that it's not, which that's been a really cool theme this weekend of, like, this isn't geared toward cell leaders. This is geared toward disciples. Like, this is mutual. We get to come alongside one another. This isn't a one-way relationship. And then I think sometimes, I mean, oftentimes, like kids do, they don't know the impact. And I'm talking about, like, kids, like Etta and Jack. Sometimes they'll say something and you're just like, if you only knew the depth that that offers and how much I really needed to hear that from you. Oftentimes we get that from Joe and Brandon and so many other people. And we had a lake day a couple of, maybe like a month and a half ago. And Cohen making an appearance. But Brent was, we were all in the lake, and everyone was just floating on their backs. And Brent just could not float. Like, he couldn't stay still long enough to just float in the water. And relaxation and being present and authenticity, you can speak more to this, but our struggles for Brent. And Jolie just looked over at him, and she was like, dude, if that guy could just relax, he would be so unstoppable. And we were just like, yeah.
Okay, like, pause. But for one, just the floating, but it really sunk in when Sydney and I took Brent kayaking.
Oh, no.
And, I mean, the water was glass. Like, it was calm. And Sydney and I are just, like, floating, and Brent is treating this as if we are whitewater rafting. And I just looked at Sid, and I was like, I don't know what to do here. Like, I'm trying to keep up, and I physically cannot keep up with him because he just took off. And then I get a picture, like, a week ago of, take this, Joe, and Brent is floating but is laying on a lily pad. Floating. Quote, unquote, floating.
No, these things sneak up on you. So, right, what seems like just a, you know, throwaway line. One of the things Roxanne and I say, and it came out of a super tough, messed up season, but however deep you think it goes deeper, yeah. Right? And so that line, I mean, we have processed and talked about that so much. And so as she alluded to, not to go too much into, but just a couple bombs go off, as can happen in relationship and in ministry. And so in light of that, in this season, I can be, I don't like this word, but I can be triggered from stuff from the past, right? And so, you know, as far as relaxation goes for me, sincerely, my earliest childhood memory is of my dad mocking me to the point that I was in tears, and then calling me, if I make it a PG version, we'll just say a wimp as a result of that. And so thinking about and processing this line about relaxing, I mean, I can remember being 7 years old and in my room and trying to play with Lincoln Logs and Legos, and I just don't know how to do that, and wasn't enjoyable. And I remember crying and thinking, I don't have a childhood. Like, there was no safety. There wasn't a place of, you know, peace and relaxation. And so God offers all those things. And as Anthony talked about, you know, we're not dominated by our scars, but we don't deny them. And so that really throwaway line has led to, you know, this pursuit of peace in my life. And another of our ladies in the ministry said, you know, I'm just processing. It comes out in a different way about peace. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just not built for that. She's like, oh, the Prince of Peace can't offer you peace. I'm like, oh, wow. He can, right? And so just the reality of mutual relationships, like when we do this, yes, we risk a lot, but we gain a lot too. Your greatest friends and encouragement in this life will come from people that you have biblical interactions with, from relational discipleship. Things change in a really, really awesome way.
And then our fifth and final point, and definitely the most important point, is that I build relationships that glorify God and share his goodness. And so you all know very well, even if this retreat is your first experience with what we get to do, that we are not given this so that we can keep it to ourselves. In fact, to keep what we have, we have to give it away. And so I'm going to let Jo share a little bit about how she did that very early on with Melora, and then also with a friend of hers that she had from before she knew Jesus. And so you can go ahead and go to the next slide, and she's going to talk a little bit about this.
So to start off with Melora, I had just been baptized, and then like a week later, I went to the launch retreat, and Roxanne had approached me, and I had already, like, I had talked to Melora, and we were starting to get to know each other, and Roxanne was like, I want you to be a part of her Bible study, and I was like, I don't know anything about it other than what I just did, but okay. And so right then and there, we started her Bible study just out of nowhere, and it just took off. And we've just kind of became a trio of crackheads. I mean, like, we just have the most absurd energy. And, I mean, Sid and Roxanne both tell us that all the time when we're together, it's like we're one brain cell. It is what it is, and it's just become, I mean, 3 a.m. phone calls that last an hour and a half of her, hey, I don't know what to do with this. Like, what do I need to do? So it's just become into this great friendship. And then this picture is my best friend, Chandler. We've had known each other for roughly 4 years now. And, I mean, we know each other's messes, and the mess is messy. I mean, it's not easy in any capacity. And so I had started talking to Roxanne and Sid when Chandler moved back to Tulsa. I was like, I want her to come, but I don't know how to approach it. Like, I know what she needs, but I don't know what to do with it. And so, I mean, I sat in it and sat in it, and it took Kayla Chambers to be like, would you just do it already? And I got the courage and the strength after praying and praying and praying and talking to ask Chandler to come to church and then to do a Bible study. And this picture is her getting baptized. She has become quite known in our community, and so has her son. He's our little buddy around the church. But it's become very foundational for her, and she has chosen God in every capacity and is still learning. And I mean, literally to the minute, she's constantly asking questions between Kayla, myself, Roxanne. Like, she's always asking questions of, what do I do with this situation? Like, I'm completely lost. I know what my heart wants and I know what my brain wants, and they're two different things. So, I mean, it's just very relational of, okay, let's talk about it and do it biblically. So.
Okay, and just wrapping up in conclusion, we're going to ask a couple questions of Brandon and Joe, or just one for each. And Brandon, I want you to share, what is your focus this coming year on RSU's campus?
So my focus this year, like I said, you know, I've been running all my life, and I finally... the Lord's been telling me that I'm at a point now where he can finally use me the way he wanted me to use me all those years ago. And so my focus is just to be more relational. Just there's people on campus that I can reach. And so just be more outgoing, more out there, and actually just spread the word and just talk to people. And just help out around with with Brent and Sydney, and just... be a disciple and just be someone there that not only that newcomers who, you know, come around the church, that, you know, I can just show just what they can have if they come around, but also for the people who are already around our church, that, you know, that just to help them out where it needs and to show that, you know, I'm here for the long run.
And then to conclude, so I mentioned that Jolie has a gift with encouragement and sharing words. And so I wanted to give her an opportunity to share some of those, specifically just notes that she's written to different girls in the campus ministry, just to reemphasize that it's about coming alongside one another and a mutual emphasis. So go ahead, JB.
So a lot of it is reciprocating what they give me, because I want to be able to do what they do. I mean, I look up to them as an inspiration of just everything that they hold. And so recently a friend of ours went through a season, and at the same time I was going through a different season, and she had mentioned during one of our Bible classes, she goes, we should be absolutely falling apart, but we're not. And I just looked at her and I was like, thanks. And she's like, but we know it's true. And we know that we're loved, and we know that we're worth it in the long run. And so then when this season started picking up, it came down to, I had to tell her, because it was sinking in of, you're one of the strongest people that I know. Like, you have God on your side. He always has your back. And yes, we should be falling apart, but we're not. So that's not the point. That we deserve to be loved and to be happy and to have a family, whether it's our bio family or our church family, and to share what God has given us for second chances, third chances. I mean, we all have had different opportunities and our stories look different. So we have to continue to take what God has given us and use it in any capacity that he tells us to. I know with my girls that it took a long time for me to open up to them and for them to open up to me. So it was very encouraging knowing that they felt comfortable enough to open up and that they were no longer just friends or family, that they were my sisters.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, that concludes our time. And we have one more slide. You can just throw that on the screen. Just some worship happening yesterday with Joe and Sid and sweet Etta, and just, I mean, talking again about how God just fills those gaps. Like, he meets us where we're at, and he provides us a family and relationships that we get to enjoy, but ultimately that we get to share. So Brent is going to pray for us, and then I believe we are going to have lunch together. Yeah.
Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for your love and your goodness. It's so awesome to see you laid out in the Psalms that you put orphans into homes. Lord, you've given us family. in the best possible sense. Father, there's nothing that I would change about my life. There's nothing I deserve that's in this life that I get to live. I wake up every day amazed and grateful for the wife and life that you've given, for the Brandons and the JBs and the folks you allow us to share this true life with. Father, this life's far too good to keep to ourselves. So when we're here, Lord, remind us of how loved we are by you, that we love you back with all that we are, and that love compels and drives us to go and make a difference on our campus. Perfect love drives out fear. And Father, you arrange times and places for folks for us to meet this fall semester so they can experience what we've found, Father. So I pray for many, many folks to be brought into the kingdom that we get to celebrate with come family vacation. We lift this all up in Jesus' name. Amen.